Good Monday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. Both China's imports and exports declined in January in a sign of continued weak demand. Exports in China dropped 3.2% to $200 billion in January year on year. Imports tumbled 19.7% to $140 billion after a decline of 2.4% a month earlier. The trade surplus expanded 87.5% to $60 billion. Private exporters reported this morning to USDA export sales of 120,000 metric tons of soybeans for delivery to China during the 14-15 marketing year. The 14-15 marketing year for soybeans began last September. McDonald's monthly global sales fell 1.8% in January as the fast food giant struggles to recover from its worst slump in more than a decade. McDonald's says strong performances in the U.S. and Europe were offset by a steep drop in same-store sales in its Asia division. In the U.S., sales grew 0.4%. In the company's Asia, Pacific, Middle East, and Africa region, sales at existing locations fell 12.6% as it continued to take a hit from a July scandal in which one of its meat suppliers was accused of intentionally selling expired meat to restaurants. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, trading 17,801, is down 23 points. The NASDAQ is 4,744, down almost a third of a point. And the S&P 500 is 2,055, and it is just about flat on trading on this day.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Most of the Midwest experienced rather quiet conditions over the weekend. Temperatures are cool out there this morning, but certainly not as cold as they were a week or so ago, with readings running mostly in the 20s across a big part of the region, a few 30s near the Ohio River, and a few teens in the far north. We do have mostly cloudy skies. There's been a few reports of drizzle and freezing drizzle, as well as a few snow shower activity occurring across parts of the region this morning. And there is even some fog out there in some of the western portions of the Corn Belt, as well as scattered from Missouri into parts of Indiana and southwestern Ohio. The fog is indicative of the changing air masses that's underway across the region. As we go forward through the next couple of days, we can expect to see temperatures turn warmer and then cooler again. The Midwest is in a unique position of experiencing some frequent cool air shots coming out of Canada, working its way through the eastern part of North America. And as long as this continues to be the case, we will expect to see our temperatures held back in check a little bit more so here than in the U.S. plains as we go forward through this week. And the overall bottom line outlook here is that we will see the snow cover stay with us across many areas in the northern Midwest. We'll actually have some additional opportunity for a little bit of light snow to fall across some areas as we move forward through this week. There's a succession of about three different smaller disturbances that will pass across the region that will bring us some occasional light snowfall. The first event expected to come into the upper parts of the Midwest here later this afternoon and overnight tonight will be most significant probably tomorrow, and it will likely produce some snow and perhaps a little wintry mix of precipitation from eastern parts of the Dakotas through Minnesota into portions of Michigan eventually. And there will be quite a punch of cold air coming behind this event that will likely take place as we go from Wednesday into Thursday. The cooler bias will drop those temperatures below average for parts of the region and put a bit of a chill back into the air, but it's still midwinter even though we're hearing reports of unusually warm conditions out to the west of us in the plains and parts of the far western United States. Well, as we move on into the latter part of this week, we'll likely see this cold high pressure system settle into the region probably on Thursday afternoon and Friday, but it'll be followed by another little shot of cooler air coming in as we move from Friday into Saturday. That little reinforcing shot of cool air will bring another round of light snowfall to mostly the Great Lakes region, followed by another cold surface high pressure center that will settle into the region as we move on out into Saturday and Sunday. So between these two cold air masses, we'll likely find our temperatures held back a bit. We'll look for the afternoon highs today to run mostly 20s and 30s across a big part of the north. We'll look for 30s and 40s in the southern areas. Tomorrow afternoon, we'll look for somewhat similar conditions, 20s and 30s in the north, 30s and 40s south, but there will be some 50 and near 60 degree temperatures in Nebraska, Kansas, and parts of western Missouri tomorrow afternoon. As we move on into the day on Wednesday and Thursday, that's when that next surge of cold air starts to push into the region. High temperatures on Thursday afternoon may be limited to the single digits and teens across the northern parts of the Midwest, while 20s and 30s occur in the southern parts of the region. That kind of coolness will still be with us on Friday afternoon and be reinforced on Saturday and Sunday, so we're not going to see much warming occur at that point in time. We'll expect to see some sub-zero temperatures in the upper parts of the Midwest, too, by the way. That will occur as we get to the end of the weekend during the weekend. Down in South America, everything is status quo. We don't expect to see anything more than just scattered showers and thunderstorms in Brazil. There's a lot of chatter out there about delays in harvesting and delays at loading at the port cities, but I don't think any of these delays are going to end up being very significant. It should continue to be a mostly very good environment for Brazil and its harvest. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Tickets are now on sale for the March 10th All-Day Ag Outlook meeting at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. The cost is $25 and includes a continental breakfast and Beef House lunch. Sue Martin will deliver a keynote. Murray Wise will give us his projections for land values in 2015. And we'll have panels on corn, soybeans, and cash grain. And we may have a surprise or two along the way. Call for your tickets at 217-333-7300. That's 217-333-7300. Let's go ahead and see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter March wheat, 560 and three quarters down one. Soft March is 526 and a quarter down three quarters. March corn is 387 up one and a quarter. May, 395 and a half, up one and a half. July, 402 and three quarters, up one and a quarter. And December, 417 and three quarters, up one. March soybeans are 976 and a quarter, up two and three quarters. July, 988 and a quarter, up two and three quarters. November, 961 and three quarters, up one and three quarters. March soybean meal is 330.10, now 330 even, up 60, and March soybean oil is 31.90. It is up 8 cents. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Aaron Curtis of MITCO. He is in Bloomington, Normal, Illinois. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning, Dave. How are you?
I am doing well. Thank you for asking. Well, we have a report tomorrow. But by all the readings that I've done on it in the last 24 hours, most traders don't think it'll amount to much.
Yeah, typically pretty quiet. The February report is usually kind of a non-event, especially after all the moving parts we saw in January. There's usually not too much to talk about. Ending stocks numbers expected to be just narrowly changed. Maybe some movement in the export line on the balance sheet. But other than that, not expecting a whole lot of movement, which means ending stocks won't change much. We will get an update on South American production. The trend here, at least from the private sector, has been the Brazilian soybean crop kind of trending a little lower here, so we'll see if the USDA follows any numbers there. But other than that, like you said, it's not expected to have much impact on the market.
You know, this is the month we've set prices for insurance for corn, beans. I wonder if the market continues along the way it is, and we're about a quarter away through those price projections, you're looking at 80% coverage, maybe 330 corn, 766 for soybeans, somewhere along that line. What would producers be thinking with insurance of those levels?
That's a good question here as we move forward, and that's going to be some of the impact we see here on, you know, acres as we go forward. I still think we're going to pick up a few more corn acres overall as we go forward. You know, Informa's kind of been in that 88 number, and now the private estimates are creeping up maybe a little closer to 90. I still think we'd be closer to 90 here when it's all said and done. Early indications are April and May. Supposed to be maybe on the warm side here as we move forward. That's going to encourage some more corn acres here going forward. So, you know, just early indications, at least in this part of the world or the Corn Belt, seems like we could grab a few more corn acres. And then we'll see, of course, here as if price continues to influence that a little bit, Dave, here as we move through the month.
Thank you much, Aaron.
Have a good day.
You
Bye.
Too. Aaron Curtis of MITCO. He was in Bloomington, Normal, Illinois. Current tick. March corn, 388.5, up 2.75. July, 404, up 2.5. Go out to December, it's 418.75, up 2. March beans are 978, up 4.5. July, 990, up 4.5. And November, 963.5, up 3.5. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD3 Urbana. It's 9:01 Central Time.